today on Real Radio.
Why? Because we care about what God's given us. There is a real, true place. But ladies and gentlemen, environmentalism will drive this year's election to a great degree of how people vote. And the young people, sad to say, the young people will fall for it hook, line, and sinker. Man, I heard that politician say he's for the environment. I'm voting for them. And you don't even know what it's about.
Welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David Jay, thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible. On today's edition of Real Radio, Pastor Jack continues his series called the Worldview Series, a series that encourages us to have an active, relevant, engaging, and culturally involved faith. Pastor Jack continues What is Environmentalism by showing us how the fall of man plunged God's creation into a condemned state of death. And yet Isaiah 45:18 reminds us that he did not create the world in vain. Pastor Jack stresses the importance of caring for our environment, but urges us not to take our eyes off the true issue of putting our trust in the Lord and his ability to save. And now, here's pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs.
I guess I like free-range chicken eggs. That's all my wife will buy, is chicken eggs that have been laid by chickens who are free. American chickens. Red, white, and blue chickens. Look, how do I know when I crack that egg and eat it, gosh, this really tastes like a free-range chicken egg? I don't know. The carton says it's free-range. What's the point to this? It's natural. We're big on natural. Is that natural or does it have additives? We're big on that stuff. Why? Because we think natural is pure. We have to remember, we are in a fallen world. Okay, now as we go through this, listen. The argument of the environmentalist is to leave things natural or go back to them being natural. But let's remember, their premise, though very sincere and zealous, is a flawed premise. Their foundation's cracked before they even build. Here's the reason why. When you as an environmentalist want to talk about what is natural, God says it's under a curse. The parts that you have are broken. You say, I don't believe you, Pastor. Yes, you do. Yes, you do. Because if we were to turn on right now, you know, the Wild Kingdom animal show or a National Geographic or whatever, you'd be watching this beautiful gazelle just springing along, and you, in your environmentalism, would say, oh my gosh, it makes my heart leap. I feel so fantastic watching this animal in its natural environment. It's nature in its purest form. Let's get back to the natural. And then that little gazelle leaps right into the mouth of a lion. And there's fur and blood and bone flying everywhere. Right? That's natural. Look, we say it's natural because we, as it were, we have crawled out of the pit and just got our head at eye level and looked around. And God is looking from above and he says, oh, all of nature groaneth and travaileth until the redemption of the sons of God, until nature's restored. Did you know that God looks at it and says, unnatural? Did you know that? Young people, did you hear me? Oh, no, we want natural. Okay. Then go swim tonight on the west shore of Catalina. Just take a swim. You will bump into great white sharks. It's one of the greatest concentrations of great whites. 26 miles from here, out in the middle of the water. Go out there. So, oh, man. This is so natural. I just feel natural. And that shark takes your leg, and the shark goes, yeah, it's natural. Listen, God says, that's unnatural. God didn't make it to die. He didn't make it to kill. He didn't make it. This is the result of a fallen world. But even after the world had been fallen, God says to Adam again, go and subdue the earth. Preside over it, tend to it, keep it, take care of it, and listen, govern it. The word actually means in Hebrew, go to the world, Adam, and cause it to be useful to you. That's what the word means. Look it up if you don't believe me. God says, Adam, make the world useful. And I want you to think about that for a second. The environmentalists will say, and this is a tragic truth, and I'll give you data in the next few weeks. Did you know that where the United Nations has adopted an environmental doctrine and then imposed that doctrine upon certain areas in Africa, which the doctrine was to stop spraying wetland areas for mosquitoes? This is a fact, and I'll give you the data. Because it could be an environmental hazard. So they stopped spraying certain areas against mosquito control, and the mosquito infestation got so huge that malaria now is killing human beings at a massive scale. Did you know that? This is common knowledge, a United Nations decision, and humans are dying. And the environmentalist will not stop and will not overturn their own doctrine on this. Why? Because it is a doctrine of a worldview that exalts nature over the crowning jewel or gem of God's creative works in nature, and that is mankind. It is the worship of animals or things more than the Creator himself and what he values as precious. And so we have to buy mosquito nets, or we have to get repellent, or we have to do what we do. Now let me ask you, what would Jesus do? What would Jesus do about that? Would Jesus say, gosh, you know what? I made mosquitoes and I made people. Mosquitoes, people, mosquitoes, people. For God so loved the mosquitoes that he gave his only begotten son. Ladies and gentlemen, do you know what I'm talking about? Do you hear me? You're going to have to square with this. Because listen, what's really beautiful about what we're doing here right now is causing some people in this room to think. Yeah, but the spraying, it could hurt something. Really? Did you know that you go to the grocery store and you can have oranges and apples? You can pick various types of apples. You can buy all kinds of stuff. Did you know that you don't have to worry about mad cow disease when you eat a steak here? You want to know why? Because God gave us a brain to use to better the quality of life. It is absolutely amazing. And we're going to see data on that as well in the weeks ahead. Radical environmentalists believe that the natural state or the untouched state is the only way to live. And I found it interesting to read today in an article that there have been engineers that have developed varieties of fruit. And by the way, they thank God we have them in California, Israel as well. But they've designed types of fruit that are resistant to certain insects and mold so that the crop of fruit is so big that they have to export it to other people. And listen, are you listening? We're almost out of time, man. I can't believe this. Where in the world is the highest or longest age expectancy? Lifespan. Where? Are they in industrialized nations or the poor nations? Where do people live the longest? In nations that have been industrialized or nations that are poor and uncivilized, for lack of a term? If you live in a poor nation, it varies in what nation you're in, but the expectation of life, the lifespan, is almost half compared to those in industrialized nations. See, many of you said that you live longer in a poor nation. I heard it. Either you didn't understand what I was saying, or you don't know this. Listen, isn't it amazing that the more poor a country is, the shorter lifespan people live, and the infant mortality rate is high? Why do you think? Why? God said, Adam, preside over the earth. Everything I've made, use it to the betterment. See, you and I have been told by our schools that cars are bad, that factories are bad, or that medicines are bad, airplanes are bad. Imagine telling Thailand or Japan or Haiti in their time of great peril and need that we would love to help you, but we're not about to fly a 747 across the Pacific because it could possibly create some pollution, and so we're not going to do it. We're sorry for your devastation. Think about it. These are things that you and I live with every day that we never think about. Don't raise your hand, please, but are you sick? Are you in need of medication? Are you under cancer treatment right now? Or are you on an antibiotic? Do you realize that the environmentalism doctrine would have, if in place, would have prohibited the creation of that? Have you ever heard of cap and trade? Do you know what it is? Most Americans don't know what it is. That's why it's getting a lot of traction. Because, again, Mikhail Gorbachev said, always take advantage of the Americans' desire to not want to know. We love to be entertained. We don't like to know things. Cap and trade is this. It's an environmental doctrine that says, for example, David, let's say that you make basketballs. And your company makes the best basketballs in the world. Everybody wants your basketballs. But here's the problem. Your company is growing so fast that there are more trucks having to bring leather and rubber and thread to your location, that could affect the environment. So what CAP is, we will see to it under federal law that you can only make 15 basketballs a month. You can't sell any more than that. That will limit the size of your company. You'll only be able to have 20 employees. And that opens the door for other people to create basketballs and they can compete against you, but you cannot become a big company because you could affect the environment. That's CAP. And to trade is this, that David says, gosh, this law goes into effect, but I have 50 basketballs in my warehouse. He can, by government allowance, he can take that. He will have to take that and help his competitor start his business with no benefit to him. Cap and trade. And you're being told to vote for it. It's an environmental doctrine created by environmentalists. But please understand me when I say this. I'm not attacking our environment. In fact, if you came to my house, honestly, I have an ecosystem at my home. I'm for it. And I praise God for every second of it. So I'm not talking about, let's blow up the environment, man. No way, man. My God made it, and we're to take care of it. But we're not to worship it. It's very important that we understand this. I haven't even gotten to the first point yet. I'll give you some verses in a few minutes. Okay, you ready? I'll just give you some verses, and then I'll repent after this tonight. Isaiah 45:18. For thus says the Lord who created the heavens. He created the heavens, people. Who is God who formed the earth and made it, who has established it, who did not create it in vain, who formed it to be what? Inhabited. Are you sitting down, everybody? California, the state of California, specifically the San Joaquin Valley, but more prolifically, the Imperial Valley. I'll show you the data from Harvard on California's ability to produce fruit and vegetables. California has the ability to produce, because the word inhabited here in Isaiah, see, inhabited, how many people? We have to have population control. Who said that? God said, be fruitful and multiply. I can't believe I'm hearing this. But the world is overcrowded. Oh, I can't wait to get to that one. Listen, just California, according to an environmentalist, a professor of environment at Harvard. I can't think of his name. I'll get it for you later. California, if it unleashed its ability to farm, just let it go without regulations, California this Harvard professor says could feed 35 billion people. Just California. The estimates of how many people we could feed from the leftovers from our plate each day is staggering. Have you ever flown across the United States? Is it inhabited? Is most of it inhabited or not inhabited? Not inhabited. Most people live in very condensed locations because they choose to. Imagine how smart God is who said he made it all and then he says, go and populate. He knows what he's doing. You and I have been told in school, overpopulation, it's destroying everything. It's terrible. We're overpopulated. Too many people in the world. Who says? Al Gore. Genesis 8:22, thus says the Lord, while the earth remains, seed time and harvest, cold and winter, or cold and heat, winter and summer, and day and night shall not cease. Who said that? God said that. Revelation 4:11, you are worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, for you created what? All things, and by your will they exist. And we're created. He knows what he's doing. He knows how to take care of it. Genesis 2:15, then the Lord God took the man and put him in the Garden of Eden to tend and keep it. Last verse of the night, Genesis 1:28. Then God blessed them and said to them, be fruitful and multiply, fill the earth and subdue it. That word means make use of it. Be productive with it. Have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the birds of the air and over every living thing that moves on the earth. And God said, see, I have given you every herb that yields seed, which is on the face of all the earth, and every tree whose fruit yields seed. To you it shall be for food. Also to every beast of the earth, to every bird of the air, to everything that creeps on the earth in which there is life, I have given every green herb for food. And it was so. God knows what he's doing. Here's my wrap-up of this thing. Environmentalism is a multi-billion dollar business. And what it does, it masters this from this time on, remember this, it will take, that doctrine of belief will take an issue that happens locally and blow it up into a global issue. It will take the Mount St. Helens volcanic eruption of the 1980s and say that the entire globe is engulfed now with volcanic ash. The temperature, anybody remember that? Yes. The temperature of the earth is going to go down and it's going to ruin our crops because the ash of the volcano is going to cause a mini deep freeze to take place after the volcano erupted in Washington State. Did any of that happen? No. Environmentalism takes an issue and makes it a global thing because it's worth billions of dollars in the media. Is there such thing as environmental care? Yes, I believe it's called creation care. And God has asked us as humans to take care of the earth. And if you love the Lord, in fact, even if you don't love the Lord and you got a brain that God gave you and you don't even know who God is, but you're using the brain fantastically, when you see somebody throw trash out of their car, doesn't that drive you nuts? That really bugs me. I mean, I want to pull the guy over. I'm not even a cop. It's offensive to me. Why? Because we care about what God's given us. There is a real, true place. But ladies and gentlemen, environmentalism will drive this year's election to a great degree of how people vote. And the young people, sad to say, the young people will fall for it hook, line, and sinker. Man, I heard that politician say he's for the environment. I'm voting for them. And you don't even know what it's about. Don't you want to end poverty in the world? There's only one way to end poverty, and it's not through environmentalism. Don't you want to see people healthy? Don't you want to see the rest of the world do better? What does history show? What does science show us? What's the evidence? What's the data? This is good stuff. I went too long and didn't get to the message. Lord, tonight we come and it's these issues and issues like this. Some people I would think tonight might be saying, who cares about this stuff? Especially if we're older, it's like, what, who cares? But this is where the world is taking this doctrine and wrapping it in religious clothing or making it a campaign, and very few people are understanding the why and the how comes. And what's the truth? And our enemy is someone we love. Our enemy is someone we want to reach out to. But our enemy is yelling and screaming that this is the way it must be. This is the way it must be. And little do they know. Father, for our young people and our schools, we pray that you'd open up their eyes and speak truth into their hearts. Lord, there are kids that are being told that their parents don't know anything about this topic. And so they need to listen to this doctrine. There are kids literally being told not to ever drink again from a fruit box drink because it could hurt the environment. And our eyes are being taken off of the issue that you are God, our Creator. Volcanoes will erupt. Tsunamis will come and go. Ships will break apart at sea. Oil will be spilled. Planes will crash. Fires will burn the mountains and hills. And it always recovers. Your word is true, and if we look at the environment and watch what you do with it, we see your truth in action. May we as believers who see such great works of yours put our hope and faith and trust in you in all things, not some things, all things. And tonight for the young man or the young woman who doesn't know your ability to save and to create and to be the God of all salvation, the God who went to the cross and died there in our place for the forgiveness of our sins, the resurrection from the dead, that we might have eternal life with Jesus, that tonight they would say, that's my God, that's my hope, that's my rest and my trust. Put your faith in him tonight, my friends. No fret or worry can change the fact that your sins need to be forgiven. Just as no fret or worry can change the rotation of this globe, it's in his hands. And salvation is yours for the taking. Ask him to forgive you now and to wash your sins away. And to come to this God of all love and all hope and all salvation, the one true God.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs, here on Real Radio, in his first of two lessons called What is Environmentalism? A study on how to approach environmental issues through the lens of our Christian faith. Today's lesson was just one in this series called The Worldview Series. It's a series that takes a look at worldview issues through a biblical lens. Now, if you missed any part of it, you can always go to our website, reallifewithjackhibbs.org, and grab any episode you might have missed, and we'll continue with more on tomorrow's edition of Real Radio. Now, before I let you go, I want to remind you that you can get a hold of the MP3s and the video for the Engage California Conference. It happened here at Chino Hills just recently, and boy, the list of speakers is just amazing. Dennis Prager is on the list, Frank Gaffney, Shannon Grove, the Honorable Bob McEwen, John Stone Street, Donald Dix, Karen England, and of course, our very own Pastor Jack. If you'd like to get a hold of the USB with the MP3 and MP4s, it's available for you for a gift of any amount. All you got to do is go to reallifewithjackhibbs.org. Just go to our website, reallifewithjackhibbs.org. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio, made possible by the generous contributions of our listeners. Visit us at reallifewithjackhibbs.org, reallifewithjackhibbs.org. I'm David Jay. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio.